Welcome to You Down, a production of Shondaland Audio in partnership with iHeartRadio.
I feel like we all are going to be shaking our fists at kids on the lawn soon. Like, that's the next step of adulting.
Damn, kids.
Enjoy being able to break your bones now.
Amen.
Oh, no.
What's up, everybody, and welcome back to
You Down,
the podcast where four funny honeys come together to talk about what's going on in the culture. I'm Ashley Holston.
I'm Shakira Janae Pay.
I'm Yasmin Monet Watkins.
And I'm Mamiya Aforo.
But collectively, we are known as Obama's other daughters.
Hootie hoo!
Hello! Yay, yay! That's Master P, right?
I know. I love that we're for the culture, and that's from the damn 90s.
I know.
Still a part of the culture.
It is. It is.
Today, we're asking, are you down with adulting? We're all at the age where it's undeniable that we are adults. It's a great thing. Yay! Our parents have left us in charge of ourselves, and we still aren't fully sure we're up to the task. But we're past the point of pretending. And the responsibilities and the taxes are here whether we like it or not. So as full-fledged adults, we want to explore what adulting actually means and when we discovered we had arrived at adulthood. But first, let's do a little group check-in.
Yes.
What are you guys hating and what are y'all loving?
Oof. I have a few things, so it's kind of hard to narrow down. But since we're talking about adulting, I'll go with my adulting things. I know you guys knew I was dealing with this audit, and it was sending me to hell and back, and I'm finally at the end of it.
Hallelujah. Oh,
congratulations.
And I was able to get them to knock off some of the money that they were trying to get me to pay. So I'm super grateful. Y'all, this is what being an adult is. Handling
it is
business.
A lot of business.
So I'm super grateful for it. And yeah, it's just like a breath of fresh air to like not be on hold for 2 hours to try to fight for my rights.
Oh, no. Fight for your money.
For my money, yes.
Because they be trying.
They try.
They be trying to take it all from
they
you.
They always trying to take it all. You don't got no respect.
Well, I am loving vision boarding, y'all.
Oh.
My sister-in-law told me, I was telling her how I wanted a vision board, right? And how I just hated going out, spending so much money on magazines. They don't got the people I want in them. They don't got all the stuff I want in them.
Facts.
And she was like, just use Pinterest. And bitch, it is life-changing.
Really?
I cut and paste all the images I wanted from Pinterest. I put all my pictures from Pinterest onto like a Google Doc. And I, you know, had a couple per page. Went to FedEx Kinko's, paid $15, price of two magazines. And now I have the most bomb vision board. And
oh, amazing.
I'm way too proud of it, but I really do love it.
No, I love that.
So that's what I'm loving.
Ashley, meanwhile, my hate to my left right now. And I guess this is just maybe my pattern, but I started a vision board and I went out and bought the magazines and I did not find all the things I wanted in said magazines.
Mm-mm.
Like I literally there was one magazine I got like two images from and I was like, this is whack.
And magazines are expensive now.
So
I didn't realize how
the
much
store.
They are.
How much are they?
I've seen some for $20.
What?
I think Cosmo is about $8.99 maybe. 12.
It's like McDonald's.
Yes.
Way more expensive than you remember.
And to cut it up, bitch, I can't.
And for no pictures of black people.
Ooh. And then the ones that do have pictures of black people, they're not, I don't know, they're like older a lot. Like Essence is it's a lot of older women. I'm like, I need something.
Yeah.
Anyway, Pinterest was great.
But to my left right now on this little table are the images I cut out with the phrases that meant something to me. But my cats keep jumping on the table and knocking it off. So I have to keep on picking them up from the floor and they get all dusty and dirty. And I really just need to put it.
What about a glue stick?
Yeah, I was going to say, why didn't you finish the project?
Or some rubber cement.
I know.
What is that?
Mod Podge, anything.
And maybe that's, you know, my hate is for myself for not finishing it.
Oh, man.
But you cut them out. You got
I cut
you
it
both
out.
Of you. Kudos to you for doing the job.
Ashley, thank you for the Pinterest heads up, because I'd be feeling a type of way.
I know. I need to update my vision board. I'm not going to lie. Same. I ain't touched that thing in 2 years. I mean, but it's full. Yeah. And a lot of it, the same stuff I won. I've won a lot of the same stuff. So I'm like, well.
Until it comes true, right?
Right? I'm like, shut up.
Wait, do y'all remember that? And maybe I told this story before, but that vision board that I made, and it had like mentor Shonda Rhimes on it, right next to the picture of OOD, and then fast forward to 2020. And now here we are in 2021, but having gone on this journey with Shonda Rhimes and like Shondaland, all from a vision board.
Well, that's where it started.
Yep, that's all of it.
Of course, all the hard work that we all put in.
That's real though. Mm-hmm.
How about you, Mamiya?
This week, you know, my love is kind of simple. It's something that I'm like, oh, this is what they mean when they're like, oh, you're getting grown and sexy. You're getting back to.
Okay,
don't get that excited. But I don't want to let you down is what I mean. It's not that exciting.
Okay.
I just painted my nails by myself for the first time in years, like last week. And it was therapeutic.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. I love that.
It's gone now.
You took it off already?
Sorry. I was really excited about it, but.
No.
Self-care is always.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. You have to keep repainting them when you don't get gel. And there's something like very like, all right, well, you're a grown-ass woman. Your nails look crazy, so you need to take the time. And do it.
Yeah.
It does bring you down a few years to have some chipped fingernails.
Oh, yes.
It's like, ooh, what are you, 12?
I know.
That's one reason I get nervous with polish, because it'll be like I start rushing around and then I'm like, oh, crap, look at these nails.
Yeah.
But isn't it like a test of meditation? Like you got to be able to sit for an hour afterwards and just be still.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I mean, that it's like meditative. Hopefully not the fumes of the nail polish.
No, that's giving you a different kind of
high.
But yeah, if you have an hour and a half to two to just sit anytime soon, I recommend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Also, they sell gel nail polish on the shelves. So.
But then getting it off.
Yeah, you gotta soak it.
I don't know.
And that also takes a little longer. It's a good 2 hours to do at home.
And I'm just thinking about it the whole time that my hands are in acetone. Like,
how do you get it off when you go to the shop?
The same way, but for some reason, like.
But they put it in that foil and exactly. They do it. It feels different.
You got foil. Foil is 97 cents.
Not in California, Ashley.
I'm sorry.
I have this image of, you know, when I'm old, let's say I got gel nails every 2 weeks for the next 100 years, of my fingers just being stubs.
I know. I think about that too.
Man.
Which is a huge part of adulting, growing old and your hands turning into.
What?
I don't wish that upon any of us.
Oh my God. But they say that's how you know, like you can tell someone's age by their neck and their hands.
True.
Okay.
Well, you know, we got to stick to our schedule, and that's what adults do. So we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll get into it.
Hey, welcome back. We're so hyped to jump into this conversation around adulting. I clearly am an adult sitting here with these two pigtails, but what do you guys think makes you an adult?
I feel like paying my bills with my money and keeping myself alive without my parents' supervision is probably what makes me an adult. Mm-hmm. Also, I've been the size of an adult since I was about 12 years old. Probably 10. I'm 6'1". So, you know, it's been this way for a while. I felt seen as an adult.
Okay. I feel like Black girls are often like made to be adults way sooner than they actually are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then put on top of that, actually looking. Right. For some reason, people equate height with adulthood. I remember being in school playing basketball and they asked to see my birth certificate. Because they thought
Shut
I was too old.
What?
No.
Yeah. I was getting in R-rated movies when I was 13. Like,
oh my God.
I still have a little bit of a baby face. So imagine me at like 13, like,
yes, sir, I'm 18. Oh, no. I want to see scary movies.
Your voice changed so much.
Also, I know, right?
Are you sure you're an adult, Ash?
yes, yeah, of course.
I felt like a real adult after it took a few years in for me to be like, oh, no, I'm really in this. I felt like I started doing adult things and I was excited about it. Like once it shifted from me thinking, oh, this is fun, to this is adult. This is what it's like to be adult. Oh, this sucks.
So when you stopped having fun,
when
you knew you were an adult.
It was like, ooh, I work at the movie theaters. I get to stay out late. Ooh, I'm in New York City by myself in the Big Apple. And then it was like, ooh, you got rent and you just got fired from your job and now you're on unemployment. Oh, gosh, I got to make decisions. I got to make moves. I got to make money moves or I'm going to be on the street.
Oh, wow.
It's real that, like, unfortunately, I feel like bills are what define being an adult. Yeah. Bills that are not going to get paid unless you make sure they're paid and nobody else is going to check to make sure. Like insurance. They don't tell you that in school. All the things that you have to pay for. You can't just say, I don't want to have car insurance. Or you can, but get pulled over and you'll be in some hot water. So like having to pay for stuff and not being able to depend on your parents, that was really the moment where it slapped me in the face.
It's so traumatic.
There should be a class called adulting, like 101.
Sure. Yeah.
Like in high school where taxes. You learn, yes, taxes and insurance and health insurance, if you can get it, all of it.
I'm legitimately shopping for health insurance for the first time. Like this week, I've been like, it's been a priority of mine to be like, how can I get health insurance? Because I had turned 26 and there it was. I was out on the street, no health insurance. And I'm like, oh, why do they make it so hard? And granted, there's, you know, SAG insurance at some point when that happens, but it's a foreign language.
I think health insurance should be the same as car insurance. Like if somebody in your family has a plan, you should be able to, like as many people as need to be on that plan. It makes no sense that it isn't that way. Like there's clearly a reason that it isn't that way.
I think health insurance should be, you know, just free and universal. Truly. We're gonna get to it. I mean, I wasn't on health insurance because my mom didn't have it with her job. So I came out to adult life like, well, we don't have health insurance and I don't have it now as an adult and I won't have it until last year. I got it for the first time shopping.
You know how I know you guys are adults? Because you're fully engaged in this conversation about
insurance.
Jeez.
Where do you buy your insurance?
That part.
I got Anthem. What about you?
That's SAG insurance. It's great.
And it's like entertaining to have a conversation around these boring ass topics.
I do remember the moment where I was like excited for vacuum cleaning and sales on paper towels. And I was like, oh, I'm my mom. I'm my mom now.
Getting a Swiffer, like that's like...
I was hyped for my Swiffer.
Wait. Ashley, you remember when we went to the mall and the only thing that I bought was that handheld vacuum cleaner? And it was... I mean, the mall is its own special sort of drama for me. But that vacuum, granted it just broke last week. And I'm like, are there any black-owned vacuum cleaner companies?
Jesus.
You could buy a used one from a black person. Does that count?
Oh.
Oh, yeah, you could do that.
Yeah, that's black owned.
Black owned.
But I've been like, I need another vacuum. But that vacuum transformed my life. Mm-hmm. Oh, I guess I'm an adult.
But also the mall was trauma, but the vacuum was life. Like the mall used to be the fun thing that you did as a kid. And
it
now
was.
It's like, no, not the mall.
No,
it's
please.
Too many people, too many stores, too much capitalism. I can't.
That's so funny. Like, when did you know that you were adulting? If there was a moment, can you remember?
Yeah, I shared mine.
I know my moment.
I feel like... Wait, what's your moment?
My moment would be in college when, first of all, every time I asked my parents for money, it would be like $43, like not anything that I could use significantly. And my friends were going to Miami and I made this whole pitch to my dad about how I was going to go on vacation. And he was like, vacation? Who needs vacation? To the concept of me in college choosing to go on vacation and asking for money, like he thought I was insane.
So I had to ask my cousin.
That's what adults do. Yeah.
I wanted to be hot girl on the beach in Miami with no money.
Did you make it? Did you get to be hot girl?
I did.
You deserve that, Mamiya.
Thank you.
Everybody deserves to be hot girl in Miami. Broke. Yes. Broke hot girl.
My senior year, I was definitely broke hot girl in Miami. Like, I worked, it was a phone-a-thon for Dickinson. So I would, like, call alums to be like, hi, can we count on you to donate $1,000 to Dickinson today? And people would just be like, yeah, no problem. Sign me up for two. And I was like, what? They're paying me $6 an hour to work here. How dare you? Like, send that money to me.
$6.
Like, it was crazy. I'm like, I can't believe we're at, people just have this money on top of tuition that they're paying for their kids. That's crazy.
But we're all basically adulting now. Like, could we do that adulting better? Like, could we be better adults, or are we at our peak? Have we?
Jesus, I hope not. I hope this is not my peak of adulthood. I still can't not eat Twizzlers every day for breakfast. So I surely hope it gets better.
Literally had cinnamon bun from Pilsner or whatever it is. The little can where you have the cinnamon rolls.
Pillsbury? She said Pilsner.
Yeah, she gave up so easy. Pilsner. That's or something. Do you think about beers?
I didn't have beer for breakfast. I had a cinnamon roll. I'm adulting.
I feel like since I've been home, my mom looks at me nuts because I'm supposed to take calcium and B complex, and I like pretend like I forgot. And she literally like puts it in front of me, and I'm like, oh yeah. But if I wasn't here, I probably wouldn't. And I think I need to start doing better with that. Like, I'm not getting any younger and these bones aren't getting stronger.
Yeah. I feel like I get, you know, I feel like it's like Mario, we're leveling up. We're having fun. Like,
what? Did you ever play Mario?
Yes, not well. I don't think I've made it past the first round. So I didn't level up in Mario. But in real life, I feel like every year is getting better or closer, even when it feels like, whoa, what am I doing? You know, I felt like when I have had a roommate since I moved to LA, and I don't have a roommate anymore. So I'm like, look at you. You are on, you know, the seventh level of adulthood.
No roommate makes you an adult.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I feel like the biggest thing that I could be better at being an adult is like, financially, my dad has been like really make drilling it into my head that like, you got to start saving for retirement. You got to make sure you have an IRA. And I finally set that up. But in looking at like how foreign that world is to me, I just know that there's so much more that I need to be doing to secure myself, like make investments and whatnot. That feels like real, like another step of adulthood for me.
Mm. It's overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. These are like the hardest parts of adulting, yeah. Like the how do you survive and not just survive, but like thrive. But like, how do you feel like our parents' generation versus where we're at right now? Like, what do you think the differences are in terms of adulting?
I feel like for my parents specifically, adulting meant having a family, like getting married and having kids and buying a house. And none of those things are on my immediate list. So I have to find a way to feel like an adult without having a baby and a husband and a house. So yeah, I think that's the biggest thing. Like my adulting is more like, how can I live my most free life?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it seems like our parent, like that generation, like that was standard that you have to do these things to be considered an adult. And a lot of people did it and were unhappy and are divorced because they were checking things off a list of things that you do as an adult instead of like what you're saying, Ashley, finding who you are as a person and like being solid in who you are before you add all those layers onto your life. Mm-hmm.
Agree.
Mm-hmm. It's so funny because I feel like for my parents, it was a little bit of the opposite. Like they were like, we got to have these jobs. Everything was about like making money. We have to make money. And obviously they had me in their early 30s, but they didn't stay together. Like staying married is just not a thing that's important. Outside of seeing my grandparents who were married forever, no one, like my aunt the other day was like, I'm so proud of you, Yaz. You've been in a relationship for 8 years now. And like their generation, it was just like everyone in my family is divorced and not together. So I was just like, I don't know if I'm adulting and finding this person that I do enjoy and still enjoy being with. But even when we got married, it feels like a big deal, but also it's like we're here and we're still enjoying it. And that's like the goal, not like we have to be married until we're dead. Just, are we okay? And we still want to check in and still go on this journey together. Mm. But the kids are certain, like everyone is having kids. I'm like, that's not for me. Not right now, at least.
Yeah.
But at what age is it okay? I don't know.
I will say that definitely shift between our parents and us. Like, I mean, my mom had my brother at 18. Oof. Yeah. She didn't want kids after that. But I slipped up. She messed up and she had me. So she had me at 27, 9 years later. But having kids at a young age, I mean, it was clearly they weren't trying to, you know, have my brother, but she, you know, married my dad and they were together for 12 years. So I don't know. I feel like that was something that like that layout of like have a kid and get married and then live together. And like for me growing up, I was just like, get out, have fun, pleasure, heathenism. just kidding.
I feel like that's a huge difference between that generation too, that more people were like abiding by the rules of their church and what things are supposed to look like in a certain way. Like my mom had three kids at my age. Like I remember being young and being like, my mom's 35. Like what? My child won't be able to talk probably if I have one at 35, let alone be able to know what age is. So like the cookie cutter image of a family seems like it was way more, people were more beholden to that as opposed to finding their own self gratification.
Expectation versus reality, though. Like, what were you expecting adulthood to be versus what it actually is?
Oh. a Jay-Z music video. Specifically, excuse me, miss. I used to feel very sexy when I watched that video. Like, I couldn't wait to be 18 at a club. Well, 21 at a club. Like, I was very into, like, what it would feel like for a guy and to like think I was hot
in a sweaty club.
I mean, right.
Grinding on a music producer and they popping bottles behind her.
Exactly. Crystal.
Yes.
I feel like some of my expectation versus reality was like I manifested what I thought it would be, but not clear enough. Like I was like, oh, I'll have more money and I'll do what I want. But like what I want is to have my phone. So I have to pay my phone bill. I should have been clear. I should have just been way more clear with this manifestation. I'll drive. I got to drive wherever I want, whenever I want. Oh, now I do Uber. Like, why wasn't I more specific?
Oh, man. I feel like when I was younger and I looked at people my age, I would be like, they're so old. Everything's going to happen for me when I'm young. And like, I'm going to be a serious regular at like 22 and like meet my, like I literally had a list. I was like, I'm going to have a man by 23. We're going to get married by 27. And I'm going to have my first kid by now. And that's just is not even, I don't even know if I want kids anymore. So I will say like, what I expected my adult grown life to be hasn't been that. But it's better than I put out there, I guess.
Yeah.
Because I put out the cookie cutter, you know, Partridge Family style visual. But I got like fun and a dose of reality, being single. And, you know, there are, of course, things that I would want to change. But I feel like it's better than... And I don't feel like I'm that old woman that I thought I would be when I was a kid at this old age.
It's weird how we equate adulthood to certain ages. Like, you could be stunted in your growth at, you know, 12. And just because you're 25 doesn't mean, you know, you're a real adult. But I remember having those same things like, you haven't finished college yet and you're 25. I don't want to be doing that.
Yeah.
I did not finish college until I was 27 years old. Like, age is not... what makes you an adult?
I definitely thought it would be success. I was like, success will mean that I have reached adulthood and I'm popping. But being 32 and still striving and still going after it, even though there have been, and kind of like what you were saying, Kira, about there being like all these unexpected delights along the way, you're like, oh, I didn't even know to dream about that. But here's this beautiful thing that's happening in front of my eyes that I like could not have imagined or manifested. But as each year goes by and like what I quote thought would be success continues to like change or and or move away, I'm like, okay, maybe adulthood is just being present in this moment. But looking back, what was like, what did you guys do for your 18th birthday or like when you actually became legal? Were there any cool things that you specifically did?
I'm the oldest child, so my parents left us alone. I was in charge. I don't remember where they went, but it was like a weekend. And it was the first time I had been alone since I turned 18. And so I was like, I'm going to go get my tongue pierced. And I went and got my tongue pierced. My parents did not know for the longest time, even though I was talking real crazy. And then my mom found out on my graduation, at my high school graduation.
Oh my gosh.
I like yelled and she saw it and she was just so disappointed. Mm. So disappointed in me. What does it even mean? Why would you want it? I'm like, because I can. Because you don't let me do things. I'm 18. I can do what I want, Mom.
Uh-huh.
So that's what I did.
Mine was also a piercing.
Oh my God.
But it was the cartilage piercing. And I always thought that like every cool girl had that pierced. And I got my ears pierced when I was like 2 months old because that's a cultural thing. Mm-hmm. But my mom never was always like, you wouldn't do this. And I'm like, well. So I went by myself to Claire's Northtown Mall in Coon Rapids, Minnesota and got it pierced. And I felt like a grown ass woman.
Yes.
Speaking of Claire's, can you walk into a Claire's and still be considered an adult?
That's like, oh, she thinks she's an adult.
Oh, man.
Like, unless you're shopping for the children in your life.
Oh, true. I got a tattoo. And the funniest thing is, like, the tattoo artist tried to talk me out of it. And my close friend at the time, Ellie, was like, she knows what she wants. She wants to get a shooting star that says Superstara on her body. And I did.
I need you to elaborate for the people that it does not say Superstar. Superstara.
Yes, there is a R on it.
Is it R-A-H like the god or R-A?
R-A.
R-A.
There's a little dash and then there's an R-A.
Okay. Oh.
Because I wasn't just a superstar. I was a superstara. And I wanted that on my body for the rest of my life. And I got it on my 18th birthday. Do not get a tattoo on your 18th birthday. You won't.
Yeah, don't. I did it too. No. Don't do it.
Where is it?
It's right here on my hip. It's so small that you can't really, because it kind of now just looks like a shooting star. It's been there for 10 years. So.
It's funny that body modification is like the litmus test for adulting. Because for me also, and granted, I wasn't even 18 yet, but my birthday's in November and I went away to college at 17. So they gave me my Dickinson ID and I went to Carlisle Tattoo Parlor, whatever it was. And I'm like, I want a belly button piercing. And I like showed him my ID and I just pretended like I was 18. And I was like, I'm an adult. And then I was like, oh, wait, I have to clean it. And like infection and like all the stuff that comes with piercings that you're like, oh, wait, I just thought it was a cute thing that would like look cute forever. And I've had so many piercings and had to get rid of so many piercings. I think like the one I miss the most are my wrist piercings. They were so cute, but someone grabbed it and it popped out.
Ow.
So.
Yeah.
Like in fun or in a fight?
Yes, knucking and bucking.
No, just in fun. They were like, oh, come here, and grabbed my wrist and pop, out it came. To talk about another time. So if you had one word of advice or something small to offer to younger you, knowing what you know now as adult you, what would that be?
I guess I would say love yourself. It's going to be okay. Patience is a virtue. I feel like my mom used to say that to me all the time and I didn't really like hearing it. And I'd be like, no, I don't care. But really it is. And it's like, look, this is a marathon. This ain't no sprint. R.I.P. Nipsey. you know?
You guys are being so thoughtful to younger you. My word would be, hey girl, adults are taller than kids. You'll fit in one day.
Aww.
Don't cry for me, Argentina. I love my height now, and I'm funny because I was sticking out like a sore thumb when I was a kid. So
I feel like I would – there are two things. One, quit worrying so much about what other people think of you because it literally has nothing to do with you. Mm-hmm. I could tell myself that today too. And your boobs aren't going to grow, and that's fine.
That part.
Oh, man.
I remember wishing, like, oh, everybody's starting getting boobs. Like, oh, I'm starting to get them. And then around, like, seventh grade, they just didn't grow anymore.
I feel you.
Did you do the I must increase my bust in the mirror, like the physical move?
Huh?
You had to.
No.
Yeah, it was like the way of asking the universe for you to increase your bust. And it worked, I think.
What? Can you send that to me when we get off so I can?
Right? I'm just, like, what kind of witchcraft?
Yeah, there's a video. I must increase my bust.
It doesn't work after 18.
No. Oh, shit.
I missed the boat.
Dang.
But, like, boobs are such a thing for girls. And then, like, if yours don't get huge, I definitely thought that was weird. But most people don't have huge boobs and they get implants because of that.
Well, and we don't have to wear bras. So there is that.
Thank you.
Hey, I don't wear bras.
No. All right, Ashley. Congratulations. Must be nice.
I just mean, like, you know, don't wear a bra if you don't want to.
I was distracted because all I could see were their nipples. That's what an audience member said at one of our shows. Nobody had on bras.
What? Somebody said that about us.
I'm crying. Yes.
Yeah. And it did not stop me from going on stage braless. I need to be comfortable when I do comedy, okay?
You deserve that. Free that nip.
Thank you.
I'm here for it.
On that note, let's hear from our sponsors before we jump into our advice letter. It's time for a listener to get some advice from the best rappers in the game. It's us. We're the best rappers. Mommy, what you got for us?
Okay. Hi, OOD. I'm a white girl who grew up in Oakland. Okay, bet. Yay, area. And found this podcast recently and love it. Let's be real. This white girl. Okay, hold on. This is a lot. Let's be real. Man. This white girl would put the stereo up in my friend's Volvo station wagon, rapping to Too Short in high school. Money in the ghetto, blowjob Betty. Was I doing cultural appropriation or appreciation of good music? I appreciate the diversity of the community that I grew up in and the positivity you all put out in the world. I hella love Oakland. Best from OZ, you touched my soul.
Okay. Yeah, hyphy over here.
Can I say that I am dying to hear what Yasmin has to say because her face is so pained. So pained.
Thank you for the support. Oh my God. Gentrifiers, stay away from the podcast.
Oh no.
That's me.
Can we talk about that she wasn't sure if it was appreciation or appropriation? She loves us, and she loves hip-hop in the Bay.
She's trying to give us the lay of her land.
Look, she loves money in the ghetto and blowjob Betty. Let me tell you.
I feel like we need Rachel Cargill to come and, like, dissect every part of this, like, advice letter. Because I feel like her heart is in the right place, maybe.
Yeah.
But the approach is, and execution is lacking.
But also, too, like, I moved to Australia in my early 20s, the whitest place ever, ? Are you asking us or telling us it's the whitest place ever? Also, why is that relevant to the...
Because she grew up in a very diverse community in Oakland.
Yeah.
And now she's in the whitest place ever, and she feels very connected to us because there are no black people around.
Oh.
okay.
So we're her black people that she gets to listen to.
We're her black friends. Mm-hmm.
But the question, even though I too felt a little bit of cringe in the, I hella love Oakland. What are you doing?
Right?
Okay, cool.
We know you know the word hella. Like, let us keep our shit.
I don't even mind that she said it. I just am wondering why you said it.
I mean, Yasmin, you spent time in the Bay Area. Like, I used to be obsessed with hyphy and everything in high school when I went to this conference there. And I was with Catholic school kids. Most of them were not black. And hella was, like, a part of the vernacular of everyone in the Bay Area.
I'm sure. I get
the cringe.
Mm-hmm. It's so, like, it's more so, like, you know how people have been, like, it's the, for me. Did you see that? There was this Embracing Black Culture posted, like, a compilation of black women just, like, reading folks for filth. And one black woman was on there talking about how folks just sort of take our vernacular and, like, beat it with a dead horse. Just let us keep our shit.
I mean, it's a fine line, though, because how
I know
do we keep it? And again, I don't mind this girl saying hella. I just wonder why she said that. I love Oakland. It's like, and I love black people. That's what it felt like to me. But her question is, was she appropriating?
Yes.
Or is she appreciating? And I feel like if you grew up in Oakland, and I don't know much of Oakland except for y'all always talking about Too Short. Always talking about E-40. Yeah. So I know it's part of the culture. So if you grew up there, how would it be appropriation? Unless you're going somewhere else and saying, I came up with this beautiful music.
But like, that's like saying you're like in the Upper West Side and or East Side of New York and being like, oh, I claim Jay-Z.
But I don't know if she's from the Upper West Side. I don't know where she live in Oakland. I know, like, when I think of the kids I was in middle school with and like, it was a group of black kids, but it was also some white kids there, and they listened to club music. And I mean, people were, it was a different era. I remember this one boy, this little white boy, he talked and he had a black scent, and I'm pretty sure he used the N-word. Mm-mm. He grew up in the hood and felt like he could, and nobody said a damn thing for probably now someone said something. But at that time, I'm assuming when she was growing up, nobody was calling it out.
The N-word is a different thing.
Yeah.
But I would never call somebody out for enjoying music.
Yeah.
If we all listening to music, I wouldn't be like, hey, white girl, you can't listen to Too Short. Like, that's weird to me.
If you have a feeling that you are appropriating, you probably need to examine that a little bit. Because who said it? I think, Ashley, if you grew up there, that is a part of the music that was playing on the radio for you on, you know, top 40 stations. So, like, why do you feel like it is appropriation? Are you appropriate? You know what I mean?
I mean, I feel like everyone's calling appropriation nowadays, so people are scared.
Yeah.
So it might be part of that. I mean, I don't know how she could be appropriating this music.
I think it's something about white folks consuming things that black folks create and then taking it as their own.
Yeah.
Right. But what's the taking it as their own part in this situation?
I just feel like she's over here like, this is hip hop, Too Short. And she's using the hella, like, it just feels very appropriative. And I think, Mommy, like what you were saying about, you know, check in with yourself, maybe do some research, ask your black friends. It sounds like there's some soul searching that should be done. And it's not necessarily labor that should come from us to give her approval.
And somebody brought this up just now, like, culturally, when this is hip hop, that notion that like a certain style of dress and a certain swag and whatever means that you're like a hip hopper, that's not a thing. We can have our own music and like live without it being like quantified to a certain, you know what I mean? Like, to me, listening to rap, it speaks to my soul, and I don't have to dress a certain way to be able to enjoy it, or like speak a certain way to be able to enjoy it.
Patricia L. Collins talks about Black feminist thought in the matrix of domination, and she says, placing African-American women and other excluded groups in the center of analysis opens up possibilities for a both conceptual stance, one in which all groups possess varying amounts of penalty and privilege, and one historically created system. And in this system, for example, white women are penalized by their gender, but privileged by their race. And depending on the context, an individual may be an oppressor, a member of an oppressed group, or simultaneously oppressor and oppressed. And I think this kind of applies for Best from Oz, You Touch My Soul, where she may not be aware of the ways that she could be oppressing or appropriating. And that's something to potentially be examined.
Mm-hmm. I guess examine it, girl. But if you just listening to music, I don't think that's appropriation. Mm-hmm. Enjoy the beat. But examination, yes. Self-reflection mm-hmm. is always good. So do it. But listening to music made by Black people is not appropriation. Yeah. In my book, you'll have to define mm-hmm. it for yourself.
That's all. Okay. You getting hyphy up in here.
Oh, my God, guys. I did really love hyphy.
All right, you guys. Well, we hope that helped, Ozzy girl. And, yeah, we appreciate you all tuning in for another week. If you want to show us some love, you can always rate us or write a review of this podcast.
Come hang out on our social. You know where we are, Obama's Other Daughters. Insta, OOD Improv on Twitter, Facebook, Obama's Other Daughters.
And if you need some advice, we're going to try to help you, okay? So send your letters to OODpodcast@gmail.com.
We won't roast you so bad.
We promise.
But sometimes love is tough.
Goodbye. And we'll see you all next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye. You down? Is a production of Shondaland Audio in partnership with iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from Shondaland Audio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.